What is up, good people? The Bad Signal Podcast. We are back on a Monday, October 3rd, as the leaves turn. And I'm here with my good friend, Dan Grasso, formerly of Sirius. Now he is with ESPN New York and the radio airways up there doing a lot of New York Jets and New York Giants. And I thought it was the perfect time to bring in someone of the New York fanfare because, man, I'm just thinking, Dan, we should be rocking with the New York parlay every week. The Jets and the Giants, what a resurgence from those New York Jets. I'm not going to say it's Zach Wilson magic, but listen, we know that he's got the special hands.
He was good in the fourth quarter yesterday, was he not? And it's great talking to you again. Great catching up. It's been a while. I mean, we're old friends, of course, as you said. And but yeah, I mean, somehow, some way, both New York football teams, first 4 weeks into the season, I mean, they're relevant right now. And they've at least bought themselves another month of relevancy with the start they've gotten off to the season. Look, we don't know if it's going to be sustainable. I mean, I would say certainly the Giants are probably a little bit more of a surprise, but that Giants schedule is a little bit light the rest of the way. So we'll see if they can make this thing entertaining.
Well, first of all, I always said that I thought that the defense for the New York Jets was going to be kick ass. And that had to do a lot with Sauce Gardner and a lot of the things that they've picked up in the offseason. They really do pack a punch. However, yes, the offense really was saving everyone. Although, we'll focus on the Jets and then we'll get to the New York Giants. We won't jump around. Like a typical ADD Courtney Fallon Bad Signal Podcast typically does. By the way, you are listening to Bad Signal Podcast, brought to you by Better Edge and also presented by Underdog Fantasy. But let's get back to the football stuff. Week four and the New York Jets and their offense and everything that I was thinking the other day, the other week, our good friend Nick Costos, he just kept saying, listen, like he's been in the mix for a lot of these New York football coaches and a lot of them that really just like blow the smoke. And he has not seen anything that he really likes from Robert Saleh. And he kind of has that quote unquote, that loser mentality, that things that he goes up on the podium and says loser things. Well, at 2-2 and beating the Steelers and they are much better than a 1-3 New England Patriots team. So what do you got to say about Robert Saleh now and how he leads the team? Is he still blowing smoke up New York's proverbial tuchus?
He's keeping receipts, right? He's keeping those receipts. And right now he's having the last laugh. Look, I mean, they're far from whole right now, to be honest with you. I mean, look, to get Zach Wilson back finally, your starting quarterback. I mean, make no mistake about it. I think if Joe Flacco's the quarterback yesterday in that Steeler game behind the offensive line that they were featuring, they're down to their fifth tackle, by the way. This is 4 weeks into the season. I mean, no team really wants to go that far down in the depth chart throughout a full 16 game season. There's now 17 games. You're 4 weeks in. They were playing Elijah Vera Tucker at left tackle yesterday, who's a guard. You know what I mean? They're literally just plucking people off the street and then throwing them in there on the line. If Flacco was playing yesterday, I don't think they win that game because I think he would have been sacked maybe 20 times. So that element of mobility that Zach Wilson brings to the field, that was evident, especially in the second half of that game when he was able to elude the rush and then make plays in the fourth quarter when it mattered the most. So it's far from a finished product, but you know, this is a building block. And to go into Pittsburgh, I don't care that this isn't the same Steelers team. The Jets only won one game in the history of the franchise in the regular season in Pittsburgh before yesterday. And the fact that they had to come back from 10 points down after blowing a 10-point lead, I think that that's a positive and something you could build off of.
Oh, absolutely. But, I mean, going forward, where do you see – I mean, do you kind of do the proverbial eye test and you go win-loss, or you just – kind of judge on how teams are, like a New York Jets team is staying healthy, kind of just what they're building on defensively. I mean, the cohesion on the offensive line, which they desperately need. How do you view this going forward?
So I think one of the things you didn't see yesterday in that game against Pittsburgh was you didn't see some of those communication lapses in the back end with that secondary, which were evident, I think, the first 3 weeks of the season there. And they said that that was something that was going to be eradicated. And it played itself out there on the field yesterday. Before the season started, I said, when you looked at this schedule, they were playing all four teams in the AFC North to begin the year, right? I said, you'd sign for 2-2. Well, they're 2-2. I know that it was a little weird how they got there. You know, a couple of less than flattering losses, of course, at home to Baltimore and Cincinnati, but they had the miracle win in Cleveland. Yeah. They came back and played good football in the fourth quarter in Pittsburgh yesterday. 2-2 is 2-2. You're not going to give wins back in this league. You collect as many as possible. You know, and remember the other thing, Court? Nowadays in the preseason, where nobody plays, the preseason's a joke around the NFL. Yep. We know that. Yep. Nobody plays. The first like 3-4 weeks of the season, that's almost still like a glorified preseason as these guys are still getting used to one another, especially if you have a lot of turnover on your roster. Once we get into October now, I think you're going to start to see these teams reflect just really what they're going to be the rest of the year. So this is going to be pretty telling over the next few weeks.
Well, I just want to be telling you that I'm very upset, and I would like to give Joe Judge back to the city of New York. I would like him off of my sideline in New England and give it back to you, Dan, if that's all right. Is that okay with you?
So the Joe Judge reunion is not working out, you're saying?
No, okay, first of all, Brian Hoyer did go down with a head injury. A lot of people thought it would be a collarbone. Ruled him out with a head injury. You have Bailey Zappe, third, fourth round draft pick out of Western Kentucky.
By the way, coming out of college. I saw enough of him at Western Kentucky. He throws the ball well. And go to that place. I remember when he was drafted, I said, I guarantee you this will be like the next good Patriots quarterback that people expect absolutely nothing from. I guarantee you. And then yesterday, he almost won a game at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like, first of all, I don't even think that Aaron Rodgers is definitely on the way out. He's just on the fritz. He almost looks like he's just the type of quarterback right now with the way he was throwing those passes at the beginning of the season. I'm thinking to myself, he could just like retire in the middle of the year and just be like, I'm done. I'm done with football. He seems like very uninterested, unenthralled with anything that was going on. I've never seen him pass so poorly.
Well, his receivers are all new, which is a problem. You know what I mean? He doesn't have that
comfort
level.
Does he not look just completely disinterested?
But isn't that how he always looks?
No, I have not seen a quarterback who has just had such a disinterest in the game of football. I don't know. It absolutely was not. Everyone's like, wow, look at the Patriots defense is doing such a great thing for the pass rush, and they're really confusing Aaron. No, you had to pick up Jamie Collins today, his fourth stint with.
Yeah, how about Jamie Collins? How about that? Who says he can't go home again and again and again and again? Jamie Collins,
Death Taxes, and Jamie Collins in a Patriots uniform.
The thing with Aaron Rodgers though is, remember, he's what, like almost 40 years old, pushing close to 40 years old.
37, 38. I don't know what his birthday is.
He's been there for so long. It's almost like Brady. You know, he's 45. Like, he's playing with guys half of his age right now. I'm sure that maybe some of that comes across in his appearance and his demeanor, that like it comes across as maybe being disinterested, but he's like, what am I still doing here? You know, I got guys who were like not even born when I came into the NFL, and now I'm supposed to be throwing them passes and winning games. I think there's a little bit of that, maybe.
I think there's probably a little bit of that, just to say, in a sense of, you know what, the enjoyments of football. I think he was just talking about, you know, he'd rather be sitting on a beach doing ayahuasca and searching for the greater meaning of life and getting a couple more tattoos and possibly growing his hair out. And listen, you know, as long as he doesn't have Mike McCarthy in here, I mean, could you say something about the relationship between Matt LaFleur and him? Do you feel like he's just kind of, I don't know. I feel like I want to know what's ailing Gilbert Grape. What's ailing, Aaron Rodgers up there. And
good movie reference, by the way, that's going back a ways. Rodgers gets criticized for doing anything. I mean, he's won the last two MVPs. The only guy in the history of the sport who has won more MVPs than him is Peyton Manning. So I think with a guy like Rodgers, right, I mean, he almost might be a little bit bored by the regular season because he knows ultimately the big goal, the big achievement is what happens in the playoffs, and he has to get back to that big game. So this is just like, you know, wake me when the playoffs get here. But unfortunately, you can't just go through the motions in the regular season. You got to win games so you can get to the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, let's switch gears back to that other New York team that I wanted to get to. And after I meagerly offered you Joe Judge to take him back, and the Patriots offense just doesn't seem to be clicking on any cylinder, whether or not there is a plan, period. I had Brian Baldinger on my show a couple weeks ago, the last show that we had here on Bad Signal. And Baldy was just basically like, listen, Courtney, like, I don't really know what's going on with the offense. No one knows what the scheme is on the offense, and whether it's doing that two tight end set Well, now that Jonnu Smith has gotten injured, we're still down to just Hunter Henry, even though he has not had the same success as he had in years past. But I don't know what's going on with the Patriots offense. It seems as though it's just kind of floundering. I mean, they might get some boost from this kid, Bailey Zappi, but goddamn, Brian Daboll and that mess that he is like kind of taped together for the New York Giants. It has, with no receivers, Kenny Golladay in the midst of a 4-year, $72 million deal where you haven't seen anything from him. I mean,
he's like, happy every Friday, though. He's happy every Friday when that check comes.
Yeah, I was certain. I'm certain about that one. I totally called that, by the way. I knew that was going to be the biggest waste of money of all time. He was so lazy in Detroit. And I'm not making kudos off of someone else who is not succeeding in their career. However, Brian Daboll, it seems like they are completely buying into this system. And for a team in which many people believed that the New York Giants, all they needed to do was just kind of tank a little bit for this year and then just figure it out and get that starting quarterback. That's not really the case. I mean, listen, parity in the NFL, but I mean, listen, if you got a good coach, then good for you. But Brian Daboll has proven them all wrong.
Well, he's putting a foundation in and he's setting a culture, right? And look, I know you try to win games, but with the Giants this year, I don't think it's necessarily about wins and losses. It's you got to have Brian Daboll putting his stamp on this team. That's number one. And number two, you got to find out one way or the other if Daniel Jones is going to be the guy or not at the end of the year. Because they got to decide, are we moving forward with him? Are we looking to the draft or somewhere else to bring in our next quarterback?
Please, for the love of God.
I mean, Daniel Jones works hard and all that stuff, but I've said all along, the week one starting quarterback for the Giants in 2023 is not on the roster right now. He's just not. He's someplace else. But, you know, the front office, they had their hands tied this offseason about what they could realistically do with the roster. Dave Gettleman left them in so much of a mess when it comes to cap hell. They couldn't really go out there and make moves, and they knew that. Next offseason is you're going to start to see this new regime kind of put their stamp on this club. You know, they're going to be able to bring in free agents. They're going to, you know, say goodbye to players, bring in players, more draft capital. That's when you're going to start to see this program turn. If you can win a few games in the meantime this year, that's a bonus. But even though they have a 3-1 start, I still don't think this is a team that really we should expect much from for the rest of the season. I'll tell you what I've been talking about, though, and this is only going to gain more steam with the Giants, and fans maybe don't want to hear this. You know who's back to being their best player again is Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
He's gotten off to a fantastic season. So I ask you the question. If you're the Giants and you know that this year is really not about trying to win because you're not good enough, if Saquon is continuing to ball out for the next month, and as you get closer to that November 1st trade deadline, given that he's a free agent at the end of the year and he's a running back, if some team blows you away with an offer in terms of draft capital, why wouldn't you trade Saquon Barkley?
I mean, listen, you want to talk about the value of a running back and values of the running. I mean, what's Christian McCaffrey? I do believe, although Matt Rhule is on a scolding hot seat down there in Carolina, which he rightfully should be.
Right.
I think Christian McCaffrey got one touchdown yesterday, but still questionable just about every single week. I think that we understand why Deebo Samuel got his money in a big way, because if he was going to put that running back position on his jersey and he was going to say that he was a wide receiver running back and he was going to be worked that way, his career would be a lot less than what it is now. Listen, Saquon Barkley, first, second overall pick. What was he was a second overall pick. Second overall pick by the New York Giants. Never, ever, ever again will a running back go second overall. I think that we understand the value of other positions is much greater than someone like Saquon Barkley. Good for him for having a resurgence.
Right.
I think he's got the swag. I think he's a locker room guy. I think he really just can make a team very cohesive just with his personality. And he's a big enough name, but absolutely, if someone blows you away with a trade offer, collect that capital, Dan. I'm gonna be fishing this out like Monopoly money, like left and right. Why not?
But what do you, and if you're like he's the people that want to hang on to him because he's the most popular player on the team, right? If you're going to hang
well,
on to him,
that's what I'm saying. Great. I mean, like, yeah, you paid Kenny Golladay $72 million,
right? But like, are you going to pay a running back all that money? They're not going to, you know, like this regime is not going to make the same mistakes that the previous regime did. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're learning from their sins to hopefully not repeat it moving forward so they could turn this thing around.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And, you know, it's a really disappointing. I would say the only other most popular player on that team right now is Sterling Shepard. And unfortunately, after an Achilles injury, goes down untouched with an ACL tear. Really devastating. Really devastating injury for Sterling Shepard up there. But, you know, listen, like, I agree with you. Trade his ass. Maybe hey. that will be a question for Mr. Steve Armato on the next Bad Signal podcast, because he is a big New York Giants guy. And so, I mean, I don't see why not, but why wouldn't you take that trade capital? And then you look at a team like, I don't know. I mean, would you bring Geno Smith back to New York? I don't know if Geno Smith would be willing to come back to New York and Seattle. No. However, I mean, yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo, something of the sort, one of these backup quarterbacks, even Teddy Bridgewater would be a fine buffer, unless you can go and get someone that's, I mean, what are you going to draft first, second overall? It doesn't seem like they're going to be drafting the first 10 picks.
Well, you don't know. I mean, right, it's still early in the season. You don't know how the rest of the year is going to shake up. But what we do know is that this draft in 2023, there's going to be a lot more quarterbacks that are going to be worthy of, let's say, first-round selections than we had this past year, because the crop is pretty deep. But, you know, we still got a long ways to go. Like, I guarantee you, there's going to be a quarterback who will be in everybody's mock drafts, like, the, you know, weeks leading up to the draft in the spring that we're not even talking about right now. It happens each and every year, right? I mean, like Zach Wilson, when he was drafted, like, you know, in October of his last year with BYU, nobody was talking about Zach Wilson being, forget about a first round pick, but then the second overall pick in the draft. So, like, we got to let this season play itself out and see which guys kind of rise to the forefront a little bit.
Yeah. Well, let's get to some other topics on the NFL. How did you do on your bets this weekend? Because I went 7-0. I'm actually, Dan, proudly undefeated since last Thursday.
7-0. Look at
7-0. Should we go through them? Should we walk through the bets?
Which ones did you have?
Okay. So
I can tell you're very proud about this.
Oh, I'm extremely proud. Well, listen, everyone on this podcast knows that we're sponsored by Better Edge. It is legal in 45 states. Listen, it's still not legal to sports bet in the state of Florida. So for now, we will have.
Is that true? I didn't even know that.
Yes. Fortunately, they're in legal limbo. I don't know, understand why they couldn't just be collecting so much money for the state of Florida. But listen, we love our people at Better Edge, betteredge.com/Courtney. You get $20 free to bet, and you can use that money to take all of my picks, and you could just basically I've tripled my money right now.
I'm actually
six times. I have six times my bank starting from last month.
Now, when you give the promo code out, do you have to tell people like how to spell your name? Because like Courtney, you could spell it a couple of different ways, right?
If you even dare to say that you're spelling my name with a K, I'm going to boot you from the studio. Wow. And I've done it many, many times. Strong. Yeah, no, I ain't no Kardashian. Come on.
Well, I've been booted from the studio for other reasons today, but we won't get into that. The listener doesn't know that.
Guys, listen, if you're listening to this podcast, there has been like an effort that has gone above and beyond quite possibly any podcast that I've done. Audio has been cut off. John from Scranton, you are fired. He has not really given me any solutions other than that Dan Grosso needs to turn his Bluetooth off.
That's the solution.
Yeah,
we did that. It is a patchwork operation today, but we're making it work. We're making it work.
Oh God. On the first Monday of October. Oh, October 3rd. Do you know what October 3rd is?
No. Oh, that's the Mean Girls thing? Yeah, Mean Girls. I saw that.
Yes. All right. So anyway, so I had what did I take? Did I take Bengals? I took Bengals -3.5 because I really didn't. I thought that I have a rule for myself that I can't take a money line if it's over $1.70. So if it's -170, -180, it's why I don't bet baseball very late in the season, because a lot of these lines are just like,
yeah, you have no idea.
Extremely. Yeah. But they're $2-3 favorites. Like, what's the point? You know, I'm not betting $1,000 on every game. And neither should you. So
bet responsibly.
Yes, exactly. So I took Bengals minus 3.5. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we'll get to the reaction and post reaction to Tua Tagovailoa.
Which was a good pick, by the way. I was on the Bengal train also because Miami, those guys played 90 snaps on defense the previous week against Buffalo down in that heat. And then they had to, on a short week, get on the plane, go to Cincinnati. I thought they were walking into a trap. And I don't think even if Tua finished the game, they were going to even come close and cover
I mean, first of all, the way that Tua hit his slammed his head against the turf, I mean, he's wearing a helmet. I had a concussion like that in high school. Let me tell you, it was not fun. Very scary.
How'd you get that?
I can't hear you. Keep talking, please. Please.
How did you get that concussion?
I lost you. All right. Let me kick you out and kick you back. The next bet that I placed on Better Edge, I definitely wanted to bet something with the Vikings. Mm-hmm. Man, the Saints are just such a disappointment right now. They had to go to Redheaded Jesus up there in London to take over for Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, quite the disappointment that I did not expect. I thought that the Saints would, and Dennis Allen's defense would have quite the firepower to compete in the division, but that is not the case.
I was surprised too. I'm surprised about the Saints.
I'm very surprised. Pleasantly unsurprised. I still will not bet the Falcons. You want to talk about the other guys in the division? I mean, like that. What's going on with that division? What's going on with that division? And what's going on with the AFC South? Like, there are some portable divisions in the NFL.
No, you're right. You're right. And I mean, the NFC South, think about it. Tampa, like, they're still working through things, right? And they're certainly not off to the best start that they wanted to. But because they're in that division, they're going to have plenty of time to work it out. And because I think mostly New Orleans, as you said, is a big disappointment. You know, they were injured yesterday. Thomas, Kamara, none of those guys played the quarterback, as you said. But I thought there was enough on that roster from top to bottom to where they were going to be able to survive. I think I picked the Saints to win the division this year because, like, talent-wise, 1 through 53, they've got ability. But Dennis Allen, again, not exactly his finest hour so far as a head coach.
Dan, I have to double exactly everything that you just said because I even went on another friend's podcast and he even put like a big text bubble and said, like, I think that the Saints could be competing for the division. Courtney Fallon, Bad Signal Podcast. So, yeah, that's kind of.
Well, remember, they own Brady, too, except for the one playoff game. They own Brady.
Yep.
Not this year.
They could have easily doubled him up. They only lost 20-10 in that first matchup.
And nobody scored until the fourth quarter.
Yep, exactly. So, all right. So the next games that I had the Vikings. I decided I wanted to do Vikings minus 3. So that was a push. I still consider those wins. I put them in the win tally because I got my money back. So
thanks to the double doink at the end of the game.
Yeah, but I mean, if that double doink went through and they played in overtime, I mean, maybe I could have won because they could have scored Justin Jefferson all the way down the field, 80-yard, is they win by 6. So
you didn't get it at 2.5? You got it at 3.5?
No, I think so the line got pushed to 4 before the beginning of the game.
So
on Better Edge, they give you kind of the options because you can set your own line. So I had the option to go minus 3.5. And I decided that I wanted minus 125, 130 for a minus 3 line. So I took it. And that's that. Then I took a little snooze because I woke up very, very early, 6 a.m. to place my bet. And then I woke up and realized I didn't place any bets at 1 o'clock. So I looked at the live bet slate and I got very excited about the live bet slate because I just had a feeling that those Buffalo Bills were going to come back against the Baltimore Ravens, who have lost their last 3 home games, who have lost in devastating fashion. And I just knew that any given Sunday, the Buffalo Bills were going to come back and win, and which they did. And then the other live bet that I took was also, I mean, listen, this is Jacksonville Jaguars, but they have been, they've been impressing as of late. Sure. I mean, I think we can all agree that collectively Urban Meyer is one of the worst head coaches in football history with the way that Doug Peterson is directing this football team with, a decent Trevor Lawrence. And I mean, I think that defense has stood pat as well. But the Philadelphia Eagles to cover at -7.5 while they were up 20-14. That wound up cashing as well. So there you go. So that's now four if you're including last week. Good people of the Bad Signal podcast. I just want to say that really today is a bad signal. Bad signal on the other side of Dan Grasso. We're working very hard. Okay.
It's the worst signal. That's what it is.
It's just a terrible signal. All right. So onto the 4:30 slate. I took Patriots +10 to cover. Probably could have bought that down a couple of points. But I mean, listen, you just never know when you got Brian Hoyer at the starting quarterback and you're up there in Green Bay, with Bill Belichick as your head coach. So I had Patriots +10, I had the Raiders money line, and I had Arizona Cardinals money line. Get it? Yes. Those are both favorites. But they did cash. It was a little sketchy, at least at the start there. Especially when Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury are screaming at each other because they blew their second timeout with like 2 minutes to go in the start of the game. Are we going to fire Cliff soon?
Well, no, usually Arizona, all their drama is like second half of the season. That's where they completely fall apart and the wheels come off and everything. So like everything that happens now is just a bonus in the first half of the year. But I don't know how you can have any faith in this team, like big picture wise. It's just they are who they are.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, and then the final creme de la creme on top of the cake was I took a nice big bet, took a nice big bite out of Kansas City Chiefs money line, and they just started to absolutely tear through this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. And I mean, I have got this kind of a small contrarian take. That I know that, you know, you can't bet against Tom Brady. He looks soulless right now, Dan. I think that Giselle, as it's not Father Time that will take him out of his game. I truly believe that Giselle will, and this separation of whatever she feels, which she's right to.
Right.
Because personally, as a child of Brady, as a child of, you know, of the House of Hero Worship at Gillette Stadium and Foxborough Stadium, I mean, I'm old enough to remember the final game there. You know, I know a lot of people that are listening to this might not have remembered.
Old enough to remember when the games were blacked out on local television up there because nobody bought tickets and went to the games.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the days of late 90s, early 2000s, when that team was terrible and Tom Brady turned everything around. And then he left my football team. And then I cried hysterically 2 years ago.
He won you six Super Bowls, though.
You know what, though? Listen, I sat there, and I think I've told this story. I sat there, you know, on St. Patrick's Day 2020, while everything was locked down after a couple glasses of wine. And I sat there, and I bawled my eyes out, and I was shaking and crying hysterically. And I said, listen, like, this is really upsetting me because Tom Brady, personally, like, if it wasn't for Tom Brady, I wouldn't have a career. I wouldn't have fallen in love with football. And then all of a sudden I looked up after I took a couple of deep breaths and my parents were like, we understand. And I just was like, I'm crazy, aren't I? Like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, my parents are so nice for not being like, what is my 33-year-old daughter? Like, really crying and doing this right now. Well,
2020 turned out to be such a great year anyways, right? You know, with everything that happened.
Fantastic. Oh my God. I know. Well, Tom went to Tampa. He won another ring and we had our swan song and we said goodbye to him earlier in this year. And then he just decides that he doesn't want to be a family man anymore and come back. Listen, Lichish, though, I'm kind of with you. You know, fuck this guy. What are you doing? Okay. Well,
I think,
like,
if you
anything that he's doing right now and his misery, I think that he's going to play football until it makes him miserable.
Which could be this year. Right?
I think that he's going to get a sense of, you know, like, this is not worth my time. And like, to be honest, it's just like, Tom, what are you doing? There's no need for this anymore. I feel kind of like this emptiness when I watch him playing football and collecting all of the team, you know, the pieces and all of this stuff and, you know, Cole Beasley and getting Russell Gage from the Atlanta Falcons and, you know, bringing back Chris Godwin, but then also going to Mike Evans and this. And I mean, like, what happened on the other side of the game, of the ball? Eric Bieniemy worked his magic and it was embarrassing. the way that Patrick Mahomes was playing and dancing like a ballerina, playing football, just toying with the opposition mentally. That throw and that catch in the end zone was toying with Tom Brady mentally. I am young. I am agile. My offense is better than you. And to be honest, they're not throwing to any wide receivers. Do you realize that all of the wide receivers that are on this Kansas City Chiefs offense are not receiving touchdown balls? It's to tight ends and it's to their running backs.
Well, I think, look, first of all, Kansas City's good. I think people that counted them out during the offseason was crazy. Just because Tyreek Hill got traded to the Dolphins, Kansas City should be undefeated right now. If not for their special teams in Indianapolis, they would have won that game last week. Look, they got the quarterback. And when you have him, it's going to cure and cover up a lot of other deficiencies you have on your football team. People that were counting him out, I just never understood it. You know, I'll ride with that dude any day of the week, number 15. You know what I'm saying? But you know, as far as Brady and stuff goes, I don't come from the same house of worship as you do in terms of, you know, the teams that I grew up supporting and everything. So when he said he was gone and he was retired in the offseason, great. But then when he did the about face like 5 minutes later and says, no, I'm back. I mean, I could see what Giselle is saying. I mean, if this is the root of it all, I mean, it's like, dude, you said you were home. You said you were done with the football. You were going to be Mr. Family Guy. So what brought about this all of a sudden now I want to play football again? I could see her being agitated for sure. Who wouldn't be?
Yeah. Have you seen Antonio Brown's Instagram?
Oh, my God.
Have you seen his Instagram today?
Now, did he do that after he was done in the swimming pool in Dubai or whatever?
I'm not so sure. Listen, I have a block on Twitter for his name, Antonio Brown. I have him blocked, AB84. I don't want to see this circus nonsense or
nothing. There might be something wrong with him. Might be.
Possibly. I think he should send his medical bills to Vontaze Burfict, and I think that know why.
Yep.
Antonio Brown, today, if you want to enjoy this podcast and while simultaneously listening to the podcast, you can go on Instagram, and he has his face photoshopped on Brady with Giselle hugging and kissing her after a game. Just enough, man. Like there's no need. This is like the morning after.
Well, do you think that's him or do you think like it's people? Like maybe like in his inner circle.
I think it's him, but here's the thing. I mean, it's just like it's that crazy ass ex-girlfriend that you just don't want to deal with anymore. What's the point? You know, like he knows that he's going to be saying crazy, crazy ass shit to Brady, and I'm certain that Brady has just blocked him. Has ignored him, realized that he is an absolute buzzhead and he, doesn't deserve any of his time. Like, I don't think there's anything else to say. What are you trying to get under his skin because you lost to Patrick Mahomes and then, like, you just posted? That is the oddest. It's the oddest shit I've ever seen.
Is there a bridge left that Antonio Brown hasn't burned yet?
No, absolutely not.
All of them are torched, just completely torched.
Unless he has a bridge to Drake's studio.
Well, except that one.
Maybe but like, why? Why? Yeah. Why would anyone? There are so many young, talented wide receivers that deserve a chance on a roster, that keep quiet, that work hard, that are diligent, that study their playbooks, that don't have a microphone outside, that don't do live streams, don't do crazy shit. I mean, like, what? Why would you want to deal? Excuse me. Why would you want to deal with that? Period. Like, I've been so sick and so tired of this man for years. I remember when I was back at WEEI 2 years ago and I was doing a show with Mud at Night in early January of 2020 before all of the COVID stuff came crashing down. And he was going on one of his rampages and this, and I was pleading with people that, I mean, this man is crazy. He needs to be Baker acted. This was at the time when he threw a bicycle at his Florida.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot. It was like something every single week, it seemed like. Just something
yeah,
different.
Exactly. And I'm sitting there and he's calling and, you know, with his kids. And I mean, down here in Florida, you can be Baker acted. You can be arrested by deeming that someone is just mentally unstable. And that man deserved to be Baker acted. And,
So he fits that. He fits that MO right now. We're like Florida man. He's Florida man.
Oh, of course he's Florida man. Florida strong. We are bad signal strong on this podcast. We have made it through. Dan Grasso, where can people listen to your show? And hopefully next time you come on my podcast, John from Scranton will have earned his job back. He will be rehired and we will get our microphones properly fixed because StreamYard just kind of kicked you out every 5 seconds.
Well, hopefully I don't want to be like the epitome of the bad signal podcast. So when I come on again, we're going to have to call it the good signal podcast or even how about this? We'll call it a better signal, not just bad or good. We'll just say it'll be better, an improved signal. That's what we're going to call
always, it. It will always be better. Well, you're on Absolutely. The radio tonight, every night. 7 o'clock.
Yes, Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock. ESPN New York, 98.7 FM. You can listen if you're not in the New York area, the ESPN New York app or ESPNNewYork.com.